Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? I'm so jazzed for this conversation. And to tee it up, I kind of want to really dig into the origin story, as some of the days can be long, or some of the days go so fast when you're at out in different conferences, but the years just fly by. And I want to start this conversation by, you know, putting it out there to these great tools that may take too much of our time, but they're so valuable, right? LinkedIn is that business platform that we're all using to go out there and cast nets wide and far. The guest that we get to talk with today reached out to me on LinkedIn, and I get so many people that reach out, but you got to be very tactical about how you reach out and when you reach out. And in this case, we get to have Sneha Kumari, and she reached out and she had done her research and knew, you know, International Builder Show, and sorry, I missed you there. So the International Builder Show, if you hear me as a micro-influencer and most of the time a disruptor, I talk a lot about how it's the sea of sameness, right? And you go out there and there's 70,000 people, but yet every time I go, I'm like, wow, I'm so glad I went, because you create so much awareness and there's nothing like that in-person conversation. So LinkedIn, International Builder Show. But Tribe, here's where I want to pause and say the gold of all this stuff is there's so many networks that you can put yourself out there and put yourself in other people's shoes, that if you've been paying attention, we're so jazzed to where our first quarter goal was to hit 50 members in our Master Facilitators group. And ironically, right about our 50th member that we hit was the story as we're putting all this kindling together with Sneha. So, and then we have some great podcasts coming up, and it's amazing. The longer you cast your net, the more you put yourself out there, the smaller the world gets. And there's a lot of stuff coming around from that. A great deal just happened in the Master Facilitators this morning, where this big deal came together from this person and this process. And I'm so stoked about all the stuff that's happening. So today, what we're going to do is we get to learn about a platform called EtherZen that Sneha Kumari put together. And the main message, Tribe, is that we cannot have enough help when it comes to systems and improving construction around systems. And we have to get people that really want to jump into this crazy world that we call system-built construction and come in and help us with tried and true ways or systems that have put that together. So how is this going to benefit you is that we have a systems expert today, and she is dedicating her platform to the words out there. And there's a lot of stigmatisms and different things around these words, but kind of that 800-pound gorilla of modular construction or prefab manufacturing all coming together that we call systems built. And so my perspective today is that I'm so jazzed to be able to talk to a supply chain expert about the future of construction, because we're living it right now. And she is right in the middle of this, and she's pulling so many of us together on how to do this. And at the end of the day, we have to figure out what can construction learn from other industries and bring it into the system built lifestyle. So without further ado, let's go and know her story and what she's all about and her platform that she's launching called EtherZen. Launch and load, Tribe. What's your favorite beverage?
I am not into beverages, but I would say any kind of juice, like fresh juice, is something that I'll go for, say, on a Sunday morning.
Sounds good. Well, tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
You know, my first venture outside my country, which is India, where I was born and raised, was Sweden. And I have to say that it will always remain very special to me. I've loved meeting all the amazing people. And actually, some of them, I ping them sometimes on LinkedIn and stay in touch. I lived there for some time. And actually, I just literally this morning was reading an article, and it talked about how 80% of single family homes in Sweden are actually built off site, mainly with timber systems, which is super cool, right? There are different rules on building with timber, and that has opened the door for a new modular, and they are kind of calling it as ply scrapers, which is new, just super cool for me. But yeah,
ply scraper, that's a cool new term right off the bat. You're dropping the gold. I love it. What is your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction silos? We're going to talk about breaking down through system built that we passionately call the art of construction.
I have to say that, in middle of doing my work, which I am, and I am a mom to two very young boys. So I have to, balance my time there. So really, when I'm not doing work, I'm spending my time there. But just out of passion, in the past, 5 years or so, I have been talking a lot, blogging, speaking about circular supply chains, which is the power of supply chain in making a circular economy happen, which also ties a little bit on modular construction, which we'll get into, circular construction later in this episode. Just reading more about it, learning about the impact we have on our planet and things that we could do in our roles today, like not a philosophy, not something that you need to think and ponder upon, some quick takeaways that you in your role could do to make an impact in that cycle.
Oh, I love that. Well, Snaz, thank you so much for coming in to be with us today. What is your story that led you to founding Etherzen?
I have to start from the start. So I was born and raised in India, actually by trade, an electronics and instrumentation engineer. I started my career in quality, and I have worked my way through end-to-end supply chain in many different industries. So I started in quality, but then because I was doing R&D a lot, I did a little bit of, working with suppliers and procurement and, then the planning of it and then delivering it to the customers. So that's where I think the love started of why I, fell in love with supply chain, because it touches every aspect of a product life cycle. And then I came and during that was when, I was traveling. I went to Sweden. I lived in China for a month, probably out there. And then I came here to Pittsburgh to get my MBA specializing in supply chain and then started working in manufacturing. And manufacturing can be very various industries. So industrial, oil and gas, automotive, I've done grocery, retail, e-commerce, but I've always done supply chain. So from procurement to demand planning, inventory management, warehouse logistics, reverse logistics. So a lot of cool stuff that goes on in making a product happen and everything orchestrating together and the challenges in actually making all of this happen is where I come from. And then while I was doing this, as I said, briefly, circular economy came up and then I've been just pulled that way and making sure that we have enough awareness of how supply chain helps. But then four or five years back, I started working with a prefabrication manufacturer, right? And one of the main takeaways that I had while being in manufacturing is, yes, we have great, ERPs and softwares to connect your systems and you spend hundreds and thousands of dollars there, you still end up sitting in Excel. And I'm talking that from being on the other side, on the receiving side of softwares, where I have worked with...
Oh, wait, the people that get the software actually have to be able to use it?
The gap started there.
I just had to make something that worked for you. It has to work on the other side?
So I have always been on the other side where, the receiving side, this is coming from the customer story. As a customer, I was thrown into multiple different ERPs. You must be aware of the tons of ERPs that we work with, the bigger ones, the smaller ones, the vanilla ones, the cloud ones, everyone, right? But ultimately, end of the day, when I am on my shop floor running my operations, right, and managing materials, in some shape or form, end up using Excel. And then I'm like, okay, what was the point, right? Then think about the months of onboarding that you spend on it. Think about the reskilling, upskilling that hasn't been spent.
Wait, you have to train the people how to use this stuff? It yes. Doesn't just work? I thought you just hit the button.
Yeah, I know, right? I wish you just click that button and it worked. But change management is a big part, right? You talk about systems, processes. It's a big part of this whole cycle, which was behind in manufacturing and in construction, right? And we are in 2023. We don't need to have obsolete software experience. We don't have to invest hundreds and thousands of dollars to be efficient. We should be able to access a good, easy to use, simple software experience without, worrying too much about money. And but that's one thing of it. But in general, also we have to understand that tech technology is an enabler, right? We, the people, the doers, are the people actually making things happen. We, the tech can help us, but it's as good as garbage in, garbage out, right? And we cannot expect like a tech to, you know, be able to run on its own. And yes, of course, there are, you know, great methods. We are talking about a lot about AI and machine learning and all of that. But in general, it is so important that our doers, our people, understand the process, understand the why behind a change that's coming. So you can really actually unlock the true ROI of why you decided to spend money on the software that you did, right? So anyways, the point was, in this whole fast-paced, ever-changing world, there was a need that I found from a domain standpoint. And then I knew that you cannot continue to be using traditional methods to manage your operations. And remember, like we always say, profit margins are a factor of two components. Yes, you have to focus on your sales, but you also have to make sure that you have a control on your costs. We need to question if we truly know our costs today. What is our landed cost? And what has been our opportunity cost? That you probably missed. And that's where, you know, this whole thing, this idea transpired, like came up. And then I worked with my co-founder who made sure that this made happen. So that's the tech behind it that we were talking about. I am more of the systems and the process and domain person. And I really think there's a lot of lessons that we have today in manufacturing that could be translated to construction. And it doesn't have to be rocket science. Companies have significantly been seeing productivity challenges with no intelligence or insights into your data of how to improve your productivity, your efficiency. How do you scale? And so we don't have to be digitally immature. And we can, like, the goal is to provide you with an experience that meets your needs, but also make sure that you have a control tower to manage your end-to-end supply chain from as soon as you're bidding your process to actually going on site and installing it and helping you with exception planning. So you only focus on projects that need your attention and you know what is trending negatively before you fall behind. So that was the intent and why this happened.
I love that. And I appreciate giving us that background, your background in supply chain, right? And I really think that's the nuts and bolts of supply chain, but we have to figure out, we have to take systems from looking outward and looking inward. And that's kind of this conversation I want to have today. And what I mean by that is you got to be careful about how you go out to other sectors too much, because you can't just say, we're only going to build a modular volumetric systems built thing like Toyota Lean builds a car. Like, they're not the exact same thing, but you do have to take lessons of those two. And so I want to raise my hand and if you could talk a little bit about what it means, because I struggle with this and I think a lot of others do that have been just out there doing the work, the blue collar warriors of the art of construction that are out there just kicking butt every day, but they don't know what some of these things mean, like Six Sigma certified green belt supply chain manager. That's a whole sentence in itself, but can you give us the background of, correct me if I'm wrong, you've been through that, and that's what you're bringing in to help us all here on the Art of Construction Tribe with the Master Facilitators.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I begin with saying that supply chain is actually the backbone of, you know, any industry that's trying to build products in general, but very, very relevant for a modular industry, right? Modular industry is focusing on scalability, repeatability, circularity, cost efficiency, like all these great buzzwords, right? And the point is they are all, and of course, they're all true, but also we have to understand that there's so many moving parts that is going into making a modular house. And while you're trying to provide unique values through this, how do you also ensure that, you know, these lean concepts and Six Sigma techniques, you could use some of it and, you know, tweak it to make sure that it unblocks your productivity and it helps you remain profitable and relevant. But just speaking from my experience, like, in my head, like I am just so tuned to think of supply chain. Just for our listeners, I just want to give you a quick example of like wherever you are sitting, traveling, driving, look around you, and any commodity that's sitting around you has supply chain in it, has supply chain folks making it happen for you. Now let's come to the concept of Six Sigma and Lean, and what does that mean? So Six Sigma was something that I got introduced to actually at Honeywell. It was pretty early in my career. And honestly, I had no idea. It was more than a decade before. I had no idea what Six Sigma was, what it mean. But DMAIC process, what DMAIC, Define, Measure, Analyze, Improve, Control, is something that I was introduced to very early in my career. So it has kind of been ingrained into how I think about processes, how I lead them. So I definitely encourage folks to at least take a look at it. And again, it's a course, you need a certification, but there are tons of free tools that you can go out there and just learn about what Six Sigma is. But if I had to talk about it really quick in this podcast, it's a method that provides organization the right tools to improve the capability of your business process. So the increase in performance and decrease in process variation helps you with reducing your defects and improving your profits. It improves the employee morale too, and of course the quality of your products and services are at par. And but again, it's a process, but more than that, I think of it, it's a mindset, it's a shift, it's a culture change that will not happen in a day. You cannot expect to go take a Six Sigma course and voila, like that's it, done, great, I am a Six Sigma certified person, and tomorrow I'm going to make all my processes Sigma. It doesn't work like that, because it's a process that needs collaboration. A lot of different parties, cross-functional teams come together. It's a fact-based, data-driven philosophy of improvement that helps you prevent that. The value is by defect prevention over defect detection. And so again, as I said previously, that it's a business initiative, not just a quality initiative. It has to start with the leadership, and it has to penetrate below to your doers, so they understand the why. They understand why we need to constantly be thinking of improving your efficiencies, and why it's important to have better controls of our process. Because in the end, ultimately, you want to improve your customer service, you want to improve your cash flow, and you want to be efficient while you're doing all of this. So again, all of these are great tools, but then make sure that it is something that's driven by higher up there, a culture change. We are reskilling, we are upskilling our folks so they get it. We are so engrossed in our day-to-day firefighting mode that we oftentimes don't stop to know and understand that what's the issue, why we need to change. And that's where we need to bring in, you know, the right ambassadors in the system, make sure that our doers understand why we are taking a Six Sigma initiative, why we need this change, and then make sure that it is a continuous, repeatable process over the course as you run your business through the years.
Gold. So I'm curious, what are some of your biggest takeaways as you worked in these different segments in supply chain around Six Sigma? What are some of those biggest takeaways that you hope to bring into construction?
Yeah, I have to say, like a lot of things that I've learned over the course, especially in supply chain lean, is something that I want to be able to use that skill and make it more relevant for construction. But in general, like just, you know, put some data out there. The construction sector is actually one of the largest contributor world economies. Some of the facts, about $10 trillion spent on construction related goods and services every year, right, around the world. However, the industry's productivity hasn't grown to at par with the other sectors. And there is about $1.6 trillion of opportunity to close that gap. This was a McKinsey report I was reading. And so globally, construction sector labor productivity growth has averaged, say, 1% over the past two decades versus a 3.5, I guess, or maybe 3% in manufacturing, right? That's a pretty big gap. While we are saying construction is the biggest contributor of, you know, the GDP we're talking about. And one third, and I think I was reading this, like, for example, the productivity in manufacturing and retail and agriculture since like the 1940s, whatever, has grown by as much as 1500%, right? But in productivity in construction hasn't really seen that kind of growth. It is there, and not getting anything wrong. We have improved leaps and bounds in terms of technology that we are using today, but we still have a long way to go. And construction, just because of the nature of the business, it's highly fragmented. And oftentimes it's very hard to navigate this opaque marketplace, right? And that is because, you know, say you have poor project management and execution processes. We are not reskilling and upskilling enough. We haven't spent enough investments in R&D and innovations. And it is taking pace now, but it also needs to be thinking more. I was listening to Steve Burr's podcast that you, our AOC, had recorded. And, you know, as he says, we have always been ripe for disruption. And we have seen good technologies coming in and disrupting our industries, but we still need to be thinking more about it. And there are many areas that I want to focus on when I am talking to, you know, our customers in construction. And that could be, you know, how are you rethinking your engineering and design process? How are you improving your procurement and supply chain, key supply chain management processes? How are you improving your execution when you're actually installing and assembling the house at the site, on site? And then all of this, how are you reskilling your workforce? How are you making sure that now when you have all of this, how are you advancing in automation, making sure you utilize the concept of, say, mass production system that will boost your productivity by, you know, 5 or 10 times? How are we thinking about it? It's, again, it's a constant, constant change, continuous process improvement mindset that I come from, that I want to be thinking about. I'll give you a quick example. Labor productivity matters, right? An increase in labor productivity can bring you way much higher value and to your customers with the same or fewer resources. And so you would want to be able to know what you lower your costs, right? And making sure that you combine all the key, you pull all the right strings to make sure that, you know, your team is productive, you are automating the redundant tasks, and you are able to actually work through those shorter and reliable schedules that actually modular construction really offers and has an upper hand on versus stick build. So using lean, it's a fragmented space, and it is natural to be siloed and, you know, be at the mercy of manual processes. What I want to bring in and what my skills are is pretty much bring that lean mindset, bring those tools at your fingertips, give you an idea of how to use it and let you run with it and make that change and shift happen overall from a culture standpoint as we keep growing our industry.
Love it. So what do you think are some of the biggest problems in construction, things like logistics, procurement, things you've been talking about, warehouse management, et cetera, from your viewpoint?
I think overall, in a nutshell, I think the lack of interoperability and the reliance on manual methods is something that I definitely would touch upon in some of the examples. But you bring up logistics, and that's a big piece to handle in itself. Like, logistics can actually make or break your, you know, the whole cost model of your modular construction, like right when you start with it. So, I worked with some of the prefab manufacturers, and, you know, one of the key things that I liked with one of them was they actually start thinking about logistics pretty much at the design phase, at the bidding phase, sorry. It is important, right? Because modular industry, you're doing offsite, you're building all these wall panels on your roof and trusses and everything in a factory offsite. And then you now have a controlled environment, you bring all your materials, you build up this, great. Now what? Now you need to transport that to another site where you actually are going to build these, bring all these Lego pieces together and build your house, right? Now, how do you, like, it's not, these are not small pieces we are talking about. These could totally vary depending on whatever size of houses you're building. And that will change your cost model. That will change, like, some of the onshore module types can actually range from up to 5,000 tons, which is a huge, huge, huge number, right? It could, of course, vary project to project. But the physical, you know, physical dimensions can actually limit your transportation routes, can require you to take permits. There could be heavy lifting. You need to be thinking about so many factors to make sure that your logistics is really making, it will actually lead you to be profitable. And it's not just, you know, the trucks and trailers and the containers and the, you know, whatever ocean transportation if you are talking about. It's also about where are you going to load off your materials when you get to on-site, you know, any kind of dredging potential at the port, identifying the right vessels and whatnot. Like that, these are the factors that you need to have visibility of. You need to be thinking about it when you are designing your house. So all of these pieces make sense when you come to it. You cannot design your house and then come to your operations site and then like, okay, yeah, now we'll figure out how, you know, we'll hire someone in logistics and try and figure out how to move our modules to the site. That's not going to lead you to be profitable. And I was actually talking to some real estate developers and they were saying that they are not, because they don't have the visibility, because they don't have the intelligence at their fingertips, they actually do not refrain from doing business in other states because that in other states, because that actually involves transportation, and they have no idea when the materials are going to come in. They have no idea where the trailer is going to be at. So they are also not able to grow their business, which is a big, big barrier, right? And you don't want to be in that stage, definitely not in 2023. Talk about, you know, sequencing. Sequencing is a big bottleneck also, right? With proper work schedule and sequencing, modules can allow you for shorter durations of and be able to, you know, meet your schedules. Procurement, oh my God, like, you know, suboptimal procurement criteria can be dangerous, heavily dangerous for you, for your business. Like it can, it just keeps adding to your cost. Like you need to improve your procurement. You need to have a combination of best practices from other industries to know where your materials are at. What are those materials? What are the dimensions? How is it going to change? When will it come to your site? Is it going to impact your logistics and changing your trailer timelines to ship all of that? Like they can truly be the root cause of your low productivity. And actually it's also like cited as one of the top causes by some of the general contractors who are working in this space. But yeah, I mean, there are all these different functions of supply chain, procurement, demand planning. How are you planning? Like steel was a big problem, right? We were importing it from offshore and importing that, that the lead times actually went to somewhere to 6 months. I remember this was like 2021. You had no idea when it's going to come. And imagine 6 months, the world changes. How do you manage that demand? How are you statistically thinking of it? Like there's opportunity at every level of supply chain that is involved in this process. That's pretty much in a nutshell what I'm trying to say. And we need to keep thinking about it and be smarter about it.
Yeah. And you've definitely like painted the picture really well as far as like we have so far to go, but yet how hard it is, but there's tools for that, right? And that's what I really wanted to set the stage. So now I'm really excited for you to put on the pedestal and talk about what your vision is with Etherzen. And can you talk about what are some of the main problems that you're trying to solve and what do you hope to accomplish with this platform?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, right, we have tools right now. We have ERPs. We have some of the point solutions in the market that industries are using that help them be get some access of where their business is at. Their people are using a separate tool for CRM. They can be using an accounting software for managing the financial side of it. They'll be using some kind of ERPs to manage their operations. What I am trying to accomplish with Etherzen is actually building, again, as I said, a control tower to bring all these supply, different factors of supply chain, and actually before, like as I said, from bidding to design to materials to operations, under one umbrella. right? Now, what that does is you don't have to be context switching to five different softwares, and then also work with Excel, by the way, to know what where your materials are, what's your logistics looking like, where is your bidding. The goal is to bring all these parties together in one page and be talking about it, vertically integrating all these functions. So you have the right visibility, you know how your budget is trending up or down negatively, and you know which projects need attention. But then it's not just about giving you the visibility, it's also about giving you the intelligence to be able to manage the bottlenecks. So if I tell you, hey, you're going to be out tomorrow, so sorry, you're not going to meet your SLAs and your schedules move, great, you know about it, but you didn't get a chance to correct it. What I want to do, what I want to help you with is, hey, I'm giving you enough time to tell you, hey, this is coming. And if you don't address it today, you're going to miss your customer SLAs. Now that gives you a good lead time to stop, course correct, and be able to meet your customer SLAs. That's how we are differentiating from what's out there.
Love it. On these next couple of questions, I don't want to skip any of these, but we're on time-wise, you and I both were going long on the answers. So let's try to hit these ones because I don't want to skip any of them, but keep the juices flowing. So from your viewpoint, how advanced is the current offsite construction industry that you've been talking with a lot of people in the industry? How do we improve it and scale up what we call system build?
Yep. No, So in my opinion, right now, offsite is the future. Offsite construction is the future. We are definitely getting there. There are many challenges that's facing modular construction right now. Achieving full cost and productivity benefits requires, you know, optimizing many different entities, processes, design, manufacturing, technology. And there are companies who are now pretty open to technologies, making sure that they have a better handle of all these processes and be able to, you know, be more efficient. But by focusing our efforts in the right areas, as I have, you know, been talking and highlighting in the past few minutes, I think we will be able to address that productivity gap that I spoke about and ensure that, you know, our companies, like our modular companies, improve their competitiveness in the industries. Because offsite, as I said, like that's the way to go. There's a government focus on it. It's more sustainable. It's greener. There is no stopping from here. It's only onwards. It's the market is not going to shrink. So why would we not focus our energy in making sure we are cost efficient and then eventually grow from there?
Totally agree. And what I would like to say is that the builders, who are a lot of them that are listening to this, they're the ones that are out there trying to execute today and move better into the future, right? And so I've never heard it so much to where a lot of the builders that the Art of Construction is talking with are like, I'm interested in this offsite system built, volumetric, panelization, prefab, blah, all these different things. How should I look at that, right? So what is your advice to builders who are just starting to look at getting into offsite? Because it's finally, we have to get the other 80% to start paying attention to this thing that is not the masses, but it needs to become that way. What's your take and what advice would you give to those builders?
Yep. It's funny you talk about it. And I was actually at my son's birthday party about a couple of weeks back, and then son's friend's birthday party, actually. And one of the moms there actually came up, and she's a realtor. And, you know, we started talking about construction, and she's only used to stick built construction. And I introduced her to modular. They're like, oh my God, this is so interesting. So as a realtor, I should be aware of this, you know, like maybe this is coming, this is the wave. And I was amazed to, like, you know, like there is still so much out there to capture, to build awareness for. And I'm so glad for people like, you know, the pioneer, the leaders that you and I are connected on LinkedIn that are constantly engaging in building that awareness in this industry. 100%. But for the builders, let's start with the basics. Like, you need your funding, you need permits and all that jazz and all of that. But it's important that you have something that you need to understand, as builders, like you need to understand what's your main goal, what's your vision, what's your strategy. You want to be doing more business, you want to go grow, you want to be scalable, right? And you want to standardize processes so it's repeatable. And if that's your goal, modular construction is the way to go. If you are concerned about sustainability, and if you own that whole carbon footprint goals, you have to go think about offsite construction and the benefits of it. So start asking the right questions, align it with your strategy on your growth plan. I think that's where it will all start coming together for you.
Love it. So who do you foresee benefiting the most from Etherzen?
Actually, all the different parties, but right now I'm focusing on general contractors, talking about prefab manufacturers and the real estate, you know, the realtor developers, we are trying to build an ecosystem that these players are able to talk to each other, of course, in their own areas. Like, you cannot be exposing all sorts of information to everyone, but making sure that they all get to see how their project is coming along and is it on schedule and is it meeting the cost and deadlines too.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for being a pioneer in this industry, of coming in here, of like blazing these trails with bringing new perspectives, but really taking the deep dive into offsite construction that we call system build. Where do you see system build, the space, let's call it 10 years from now?
So as I said, like, offsite is the future. Like, I have no second doubts about it. I know other leaders don't either, but I am seeing so much disruption happening in terms of technology. Like, we could very well be, using drones to capture how everything is coming on live, and then using AI and, you know, machine learning, also something that I'm trying to do with, here at Etherzen, where you're learning in the background and then making intelligent decision making, right? And all of this, like, the cumulative effect of all of this automation in your processes, and that enables you to save time, improve the quality of the products, and then also, like, our people involved in this process leave the workplace with a sense of fulfillment that they have been upskilled. They are upbeat with the technology. That's also a way to ensure that we are attracting the right people in our industry as we grow.
I love it. So what is your crystal ball for the future when it comes to technology and construction?
As I highlighted, I think I see all sides. I see all sorts of growth in terms of how tech savvy we're gonna become, how attractive we will become for people to join us, this industry. And as I said, like, modular construction, just given this whole construction technology being so sustainable, being repeatable and scalable, there is no doubt that this is coming, and it's going to take on the world. And we are going to move away from how we see our houses built today. Yes, it's a shift, but the shift is coming.
So the last question we always ask, Neha, thank you so much for coming in and share your story. And we're really honored to have you be leading the Art of Construction Master Facilitators, all the interaction that you've been having with the group. I really challenge others to go do that. And in that group, that's where we can come these questions that we always ask at the end of the podcast, of really niching in to really move our business forward. And I love how from the very beginning you've been saying, you know, you have to figure out your cost and your sell and make more profits and figure out how to make those paradigm shifts and figure out how do we eat this elephant? It's one bite at a time, right? And it's not all at one thing, right? But what is your one thing for builders and our affiliates to go out there and go out and crush their business? What's that one thing you want to leave them with?
I have to start with change. Managing change has been a part of parcel of my life in manufacturing. And I have to say that change is inevitable. We have to embrace it. It's not a distant dream. There are signs of potential disruption in many parts of our construction industry, and best practices already exist. So why don't we, take those best practices and learn from it instead of reinventing the wheel, apply it in our sector and try to be profitable. The potential of a mass customization mass production system can be a dramatic step change in creating productivity in many segments of our industry. So let's keep embracing change. Let's keep upskilling. Let's make this industry pretty attractive for everyone coming in.
Love it. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story.
Thank you so much for having me.
Efficient, simple, but you have to have a platform like what we're launching with Revision, because it always has to be revised and changed, right? And this revision has to happen with experts that are coming from different perspectives that we call the Art of Construction Master Facilitators Program. And what one of the thing I wrote down here that was fascinating to me is that she talked about how you have to be fact-based with data-driven execution. And I would challenge myself and many of us listening to this podcast right now to say, when I heard fact-based, boy, I thought about crusty contractor and the way construction, a lot of it is done, because what is true and what is not true, that's really challenging. And the other part, data-driven, what data set is it coming from? And I would challenge anybody to say, that is a hard thing, because at the end of the day, we have to figure out how to have continuous improvement in an opaque marketplace. Opaque marketplace, that term, she said, was kind of new to me, but it is that you can run to it in a negative way, or you can run to this in a positive way. And that's what I love about Sneha, is that she's running to this positively, because otherwise you're just engrossed in firefighting, right? And you're just doing the same daily grind every day. And that's not what we're doing with the Art of Construction Master Facilitators. And so we're honored to have her with her Six Sigma expertise to come in and say, there's not enough R&D and different things that we all have to come do our part. One of the things I'm really fearful about, of like one of the shiny objects, has been construction tech. And there's been so much money getting put into that. But now you're hearing in the news about how all that stuff's pulling back, right? And so the whole thing of this, it's this chicken or the egg, is you have to make risks and reward, and you have to keep trying stuff, because at the end of the day, you have to buy right to sell right. And if you're not buying right, how do you sell right? But the part I challenge us all is to say, we have to all raise our hand, including myself, because we have to change our habits. Our habits are so engrossed in this industry, because if we think about this differently, instead of this is only my world and this is all I do in construction, what about thinking about how you connect to the handoffs in this industry? And I just hit 11 years owning a window and door company, and worked for others before that. So 25 years plus, I've been selling windows and doors. And the longer I play the great game of business, the longer I realize it's not about the shiny objects or the false summit when things are coming in. It's about the logistics. That's what we call our secret sauce. And in that business, you're about taking a bunch of different things and putting them together, which is really what she's talking about, the whole world. And that's what we're trying to do, right? Because at the end of the day, we have to figure out the riches and the niches. We have to take my window and door company, my little Mountain View window and door in Colorado, that I'm so proud of that team. They are implementing the best window practices in Colorado. But we need to zoom out and say, how do you take those best practices globally to the Art of Construction Master Facilitators? And I always talk about begin with the end in mind. And she's so much gold that she dropped in there, because the thing that I want you all to leave about is that when you begin with the end in mind, you have to translate that into your proposals equal profit. And when you're sending out a proposal, you better understand what are the kit of parts to equate to that proposal. And an example I want to leave you with is in my window and door company, day to day, people get ingrained and they get into these habits. They just think it's everything is the same stuff coming into the warehouse. And our customers are just getting three bids of all of it being the same. But I leave you with this and say, if a window is being manufactured down the street versus across the ocean, do you think there's an apples to oranges conversation there of logistics? Because something across the street is a little bit different than across the ocean. And you have to think about those things, because you have to be able to, and this is the key to the next phase of construction. You have to be able to do more things and spend less labor. And that's what we're talking about when we say systems built. And at the end of the day, EtherZen can be one of your control towers because you don't have enough time or money to have your own control tower. And within that control tower, above that, we have this umbrella that we call the Art of Construction Master Facilitators. How attractive it is to join this stuff. I can't wait to check out EtherZen. And why I can't wait to check out EtherZen is because Sneha's went out and put so much information to the table that's different and has an exciting take. Because we have to figure out how to take best practices that exist, and then we have to have let's EtherZen this thing so we could shift and juke and jive. So I can't wait to have this master facilitator recap. And if you haven't been paying attention from the podcast, you get to have you. If you listen to this podcast, we're averaging over 15,000 listens a month right now. And it's just fascinating, all you people that are listening to the other side of this microphone. But it's a one-way thing. And I challenge you right now to stop and say, reach out to Scott and I or Sneha if you're connected to this. We're going to get you free access to come in and we're going to have a follow-up conversation about this, because what you're hearing from this on the podcast, we're just dipping our toe in the water, team. Because what we're going to do is we're going to take this and we're going to expound this, because construction is not a one sentence or it's not even a 1 hour podcast. It's connecting all these dots together to move this thing forward. I'm honored to have everybody be part of this. Sneha, thank you for so much for coming and sharing your story. Another LinkedIn contact turned into Art of Construction Master Facilitator.